The Angry Chicken is a production of Amove TV. Bookmark amove.tv for more gaming and esports shows. The Angry Chicken is directly supported by listeners like you via patreon.com/TAC.
A podcast about Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. This is the Angry Chicken.
Greetings and welcome back, everyone. This episode of the Angry Chicken is sure to be quiet, long-winded, stretching for time, and really hurting for things to talk about. I'm Garrett Weinzerl. I'm joined as always by Willie Dills Gregory and Jocelyn Moffat. Welcome back, you two.
Hey, Garrett.
What up? Lot to talk about this week. After a period of sluggishness, we just got everything thrown in our face all in 1 week.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, HTT finished, right? So now they're like, okay, yes. That year's done. Now it's time for all of our bombs of things we're changing.
And we knew about these announcements a long time ago. In fact, I was talking on my stream the other night, like, how long has it been since Ben Brode said, we're working on ladder changes?
How long?
Literally two and a half years.
Actually,
and we got ranked floors.
I think the more accurate question is, how long has it been since the last time he's told us they're working on ranked improvements?
Yeah,
because they
would announce something at some point and they're working on it to now, when we actually had an announcement. Long time.
Very, very long time. Very long time. I'm glad you brought up the end of HGC, though, Joss, because...
HCT.
Sorry. Yeah, because there's no way
you're thinking
I get...
of Heroes.
Yeah.
Your Heroes and your Hearthstone.
You know what the only one I don't get mixed up with is? Overwatch League, because it starts with a different damn letter.
Yeah.
The Superb Owl, the Overwatch League.
Yes, the Superb Owl. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking that even though this has been a very long time coming, the ranked rework, which we'll talk about here in a bit, it feels like it's been a good pace, right? Like we just wrapped up Hearthstone Esports and then bam, immediately an announcement of something that's going to affect the game. I mean, clearly not everybody I think who plays Hearthstone watches Hearthstone Esports. So it's probably irrelevant for a decent chunk of the fan base. But I think at least for me, it felt like a good pace. Like they kind of hit a really good rhythm.
It is something kind of interesting to think about, because sometimes you get a little bit wrapped up in the world of people who actually pay attention to Hearthstone, and then when you think, well, there's 70 million people and 100,000 of them were watching the World Championships.
There was 1.8 million overall, if you count all the different language streams.
Over all the languages? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. But that's still...
One seventieth of it, thirty-fifth of it, or whatever.
Of the last time we got Hearthstone numbers, anyway, it's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if the 70 million? I feel like has to be a little bit of an inflated
that
number
has to
too.
Be,
like,
well, yeah, that has to be just accounts created.
It's just people who downloaded the app and opened it one time and registered a thing.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, there's a lot of people who literally just open their phone every now and then and still haven't even beaten the innkeeper and stuff like that at the beginning. I always wonder, when they open the app and something has changed, are they just like, what the hell is going on?
I really wish, and I know they'll never do this, but it would be really interesting to see monthly active wild ladder players, monthly active brawl players, monthly active arena players, monthly active standard ladder. That would be so interesting.
I do know this. I got to rank 5 in Wild, and when you're at rank 5 in Wild and you queue, you play the same guy 3 or 4 times in a row. So it's not that many, unfortunately.
I've actually been playing the same guys on Standard Ladder, too. Yeah. Which was actually kind of cool, because I got the same guy three times in a row, and I was like, yes, best of three!
That's it.
Well, mini tournament mode.
Yeah, they're stealth trying it just on Jocelyn's account when she's playing. That'd be wonderful. Oh, God. So good. I mean, I feel like Hearthstone could do it, right? I mean, they could show us those numbers. They have enough players. Heroes probably shouldn't do it. I definitely see the same player way too many times in Heroes, but I mean, they're not gonna. But
yeah. I feel like you would in Hero League, but I don't in Quick Match. I don't think I've ever really run into the same player twice in Quick Match.
You're right. You're absolutely yes. Yeah, I probably should have specified which mode I was kind of riffing on, but. Anyways, well, before we get into the news, which is going to be the bulk of today's show, before we get started, I wanted to thank our patrons, usually save for a little later in the show, but it's a meaty show today, so we should probably thank our bosses right off the bat, supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC, and also a few of our most recent patrons. Thank you to Sean T, Raymond P, Sam R, John T, and Michael K. Everyone had a last initial this week. I'm so proud. So proud. But seriously, thank you for supporting the show. If you like Angry Chicken and you want to support the show, this is the single best way to support us. It directly supports all three of us. So thank you very much. Also, in 2 days, it's the first, which is like, you know, your monthly patron day. So thank you very much, everybody. Now let's get straight into it. Let's talk about what in the hell is going on in the world of Hearthstone.
Good news, everyone.
All right, let's start with talking about ramp, because that was in the order of announced is the update that's going to be happening to ranked ladder. Man, it's finally happening. It's finally getting changed. And if somehow you listen to a Hearthstone podcast but haven't already heard what's happening to it, the highlights are when the rank resets now, you will be set back 4 ranks from wherever your highest rank was achieved for that season. So no more giant setbacks. Also all ranks.
So Legend gets you currently all the way back to 16, just to put that into perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so instead you'll be ranked 4.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yay!
Yeah, so Legend, you'll already be at the highest ranked floor you can achieve outside of Legend itself. which I think is really exciting. All ranks now have 5 stars, and that is included in this reset. So your stars are also counted. So if you ended at, say, rank 1, 3 stars, you will be reset to rank 5, 3 stars. And mm-hmm. apply this for everything. And then also no more rank 20 for card backs. That's not a thing anymore. You will now just need to win 5 ranked games during the season. Your rank is irrelevant for those card backs. You just got to win 5 of them. And they've already confirmed that they are adding in a UI element that's going to show how many wins you still need to earn this season to get that card back.
I think that's cool. It means like no more automatic card backs for people who are at the higher ranks. Like you still need to actually play Hearthstone during the course of the month.
Yeah, if you skip a month, you don't get it back.
Yeah. So
I mean, I don't want to glaze over the single most important fact about all of this, which is rank 25, the Angry Chicken rank, is getting the 5 stars it deserves.
Exactly.
Not 2
stars. We can all rejoice.
So, for perspective, currently, I think it's once you hit rank 15 that every rank then has 5 stars after that. So, but there's like, down at the super low ranks, it's like 2 stars.
Is it even at 15? I think it's 10.
No, it's 15. I talked about it in my chat last night, and people confirm it's 15. Mm. But yeah, so like the other, like when you're, if you, like I play on these other accounts, right? Generally, it takes me like 4 games to get to rank 20, because if I just win all of them, then I win streak on the last couple. And that's like a win streak is like a full rank down there. So yeah, it is awkward. Like Ben Bro talked about in the video that you end up with like a log jam around 20. Because that's where most of the player base is, right? But the people like who can't lose stars up to rank 20 then start running into people who are at rank 20 or whatever like that. So it's just, it's the log jam. And that's what he expressed in the video. That he there's a 2.5 minute or so long video where he kind of talked about some of this stuff. So
yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Our chat is now saying that it is from 15.
Oh, so
like
my chat was just wrong.
Yeah. Then. So your chat was
I haven't been at rank 15 in so long.
Oh, I see how it is.
Yeah. So it is. It's 4 stars.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's 4 stars from 15 to 10, and then 5 stars from then on. Okay.
Yeah. So they're adding a whole bunch of stars down to the bottom of the ladder. And I've seen a lot of concern, and I think it was even raised a couple seconds ago in our chat, of people who play at the lower rank saying, like, oh, but now I'm not going to get past rank 25 or 24, you know, like I used to be a rank 20 player. Now I'm going to be a rank 25 player. I don't want this to sound like insensitive, but does that like, do you, I guess, as, and I'm asking kind of the community now, like if you are a rank 20 player, like, is that a big part of your Hearthstone identity? Like, is it a really big deal if you like look at this? Cause you'll have, assuming, cause you still can't lose stars right below rank 20.
Correct.
Yeah, so none of the other stuff changes. So,
yeah. So assuming that you actually like are winning some games down at that rank, like if you look at your number of stars, you'll still have 10 stars. You'll just have a different number in front of it. Like, does that make a big deal?
Well, the reason why it's a big deal currently is because there's a barrier there. That's where you get the card back. So,
well, exactly. But once they take the card back away.
This is the point, is that that goes away. So that is no longer this. Like I've talked about, like to some players, there's two ranks. There's legend and not legend yet. Right. Mm. To a lot of players, there's 20 and not 20 yet. Right. Because 20 is where the card back is. So once you kind of get rid of that, you know, just arbitrary thing that doesn't actually matter anymore, then I think over time people will think, oh, now that doesn't matter. Like it matters to them now. Yeah. But once the change is in place for a little while, they're going to be like, oh, I'm a rank 23 player. And that actually means something because now there are actually rank 25 players.
Yeah.
And that's a thing too. Yeah. Right. And 20 is now actually something to be proud of, not just the thing that eventually happens. Right.
Well, and with the new resets, you're actually, I feel like you're going to be able to make more progress in the long run. Like if you are a rank 20 player, you get reset all the way back to 25 every season, right? So 24. Right. So
yeah, don't put me in with those rank 21 players.
But like my point is you basically go all the way back down to the bottom and you have to work your way back up again to hit rank 20. Whereas now it's like if you say get from 25 to 20 in a season, then you'll go back to 24 and then you can go 24 up to 19 and then you'll go back to 23 and you can kind of like see your rank increase a lot more over time. So I think that your rank number, like people at the bottom of the ladder over time are going to feel a lot better about this system than like, I know right now it seems like a big change and like it might be really frustrating and like you might feel like you're getting demoted or something. But I think over time you're going to see more progress accumulate. And I think that that's going to make you feel better. Not to mention, like Dill said, like a win streak can take you through a whole entire rank. Well, now if you actually like hit 24 and hit 23, they're going to feel more like milestones. Like I do when I go from, you know, like 7 to 6, like when I get that rank, it makes a big difference. When I'm down at 20 to 19 or, you know, 15 to 14 or whatever, they don't feel like big rewarding changes. I don't feel like I've earned anything. So, I mean, I think in the long run, this is going to feel better, but it's going to be a bit of an adjustment.
Yeah. I think the rank
floors are staying too. That's the other thing.
Right.
Which is really nice.
Yeah. The rank floors are staying. The reset is based off the highest rank you achieve, not where you end at. So that right. I like that a
Which
lot.
Which was confusing because there were a lot of, because I thought
but it's always worked this way. It works this way now. It resets your rank based on the highest you've achieved. Now.
Yeah, I just thought I saw Bro tweet a couple times.
Yeah, he was. He did tweet that. He was actually wrong.
He did. There was misinformation that was going around, and then Ben Bro.
Look, even he gets stuff wrong, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he does, we're totally allowed.
He tweeted clearing it up, and the official post on the Play Hearthstone website specifies that it works exactly like the chest. Like your chest and your reset are just based off of the highest thing you achieved. I love that. Works against ladder anxiety. Huzzah. I mean, overall, I really like this change. And you've already mentioned the fact, Joss, like if you go up 5 ranks every season, you're progressing.
Right.
That's the thought of progression over multiple seasons is mind-blowing in Hearthstone. It shouldn't be. I'm surprised it's gone this long with us being like, oh my god, we can progress over multiple seasons, holy crap. But yeah, at the same time,
this is just a good change in almost every single way. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to me that people are finding reasons to complain about
the
it
only...
like, I am, well, a person who finds things to complain about and I am like just bewildered at some of the things I'm seeing people complain about with this, because I'm like, this is just good. This is just good. Everything about this is good. So,
well, I can kind of see it because I've seen the complaint and I can kind of understand this, that there's no differentiate, because this system is probably going to result in more people getting Legend, which I don't think is a big deal. But with
not necessarily. Reset, I mean, over time, a few more. But once those win streaks go away, it's tough, man. That grind for
Legend is a real thing. Oh, trust me, I know that 5 to Legend grind is a huge, huge deal. But I still think that there's going to be more Legend players
eventually.
Over
they
time.
Will be, yes, yeah.
And so all of the Legend players getting reset to rank 4, regardless of their finish on the Legend ladder, I think is a little bit odd. Like, I feel like there should be a little bit of differentiation between, like, people who are, like, say, top 100 or top 250 or top 1,000, whatever, Legend players. I feel like there still maybe should be a bit of differentiation there. But it's still better than all of them going all the way down to...
I think it's still better than it going all the way down to,
you know, rank 16, where they end up now.
But the thing is, like, Legend players rank 4 to Legend is going to be trivial. Like, they're just going to get back. And to them, it's like, okay, now it's not 16 to Legend. Like, it's... I don't think we need to, like, then go in and be like, okay, 1 to 100 doesn't go back out of, like, it's like, things get a little weird. I think that putting them all back in rank 4 just means they're all starting on an even playing field going into the new season, right? And I think that's, if you're a pro player, that's kind of what you want. You don't want to be like, I got a little favoritism because I did well last season. Like, so, and I like it because I feel like what's going to happen here is, for me anyway, like, I'm going to try to just be, like, Legend every season in Wild and Standard now, because I can... Like, that's, like, achievable, right?
Yeah.
Like, this season I got ranked 5 in both, and that was hard, man. That was a lot of freaking games. It's going to be less games to do 4 to Legend every season. So it's like it helps players like me, but it also helps those players who might now identify as ranked 20 players, because eventually they will identify as whatever rank they actually belong at, and they will play against other players who they're supposed to be playing against, right? Because if you think about it now, like, we've got... For the listeners at home, I'm putting my hands about this far apart.
We've got, like, this I love much how you ladder, still say right? this far.
There's
like
this
they
much,
still can't
this
see
much
this.
Ladder. It's about 5 inches of ladder, right? What we've essentially done is we've, like, doubled this. We've made it 10 inches of ladder, and so there's more space in the ladder to be at the rank you're supposed to be at, right? Right now, it's crunched a little too much because of the fact that there's so few stars at lower ranks, and the fact that you just blow by them if you're one kind of player, and if you're another kind of player, like, you might hit a wall, like Ben Brode said, like, you hit a wall at 20. There's not going to be as much of a wall anymore, because you're going to just be playing against players who have a similar size collection, who maybe have a similar skill set as you, and all those Legend players who used to have to grind past you are not going to be anywhere in your vicinity. Like, you are free from them. So
it's really
adding stars was a huge, like, if they'd done this without adding the stars, then we just end up crunching the ladder at the top rather than the bottom.
Right.
Yeah, this really addresses the issue too of the having more anxiety at the beginning of the month, because you know it's like, oh no, everyone who was really high up last season, they're super low now. And and we've had this discussion multiple times. It's just like, well, I
like you skip the first few days, right?
Yeah, I could just wait. I could just wait and climb easier. So I'm completely behind these changes. The only thing resembling a complaint I have is, why did this take so long? This isn't a giant overhaul. This is kind of using systems that already exist in the game. I'm not sure why this didn't come sooner. Yeah. But that's also, take it as a compliment, because it feels like this is how it should have always been.
Well, basically, the explanation that they gave was that they didn't just look at one solution. They looked at a whole bunch of different solutions, and then they ran simulation after simulation after simulation to figure out what impact it would have on players using real player data and games played and amount of time spent playing Hearthstone and all that kind of crap. They run it through a whole bunch of systems, and then they decide what they think is going to be best in the long run. But they did say that this could still be subject to change because, you know, real people never act exactly the same as a simulation. So there's
that they're going to monitor for the first few months and take all feedback into account.
Yep.
I guess the one thing that was surprising to me at first, and I do take that explanation seriously. Like, that does make sense when I think about it. But at first I was like, wow, it took 2 years. And then all they really did was just not change the actual system, like, just change how things work within said system. Like, I was kind of expecting the whole star thing to just go away and there was going to be some whole different thing. But, you know, all that aside, like, I'm not disappointed at all by any of this. Like, once it kind of, like, registered and I thought a little bit more about it, I was like, no, this all just makes perfect sense. Like, this is just a much better way to do the same thing we've been doing. Now we're just wrapping it up in a better box, right? So
yeah, and I feel like my, at least, I don't want to speak for all of this, but at least like I feel like my opinions on Ladder and what I wanted it to be have really changed over time. Like, and frankly, I've softened to like the Ladder we currently have more than I originally did. You could probably go back to old episodes of this show and hear me talk about like, well, why don't we just have Bronze through Grandmaster like every other damn Blizzard game with a ladder? And the more I think about it, the more it just, that does not work for a card game. Having it more weighted on MMR doesn't work for a card game. There's too much chance.
It can work, but it's
difficult. Yeah, that's how,
right?
Legend works, though, right? Like, well, Legend has an MMR in the background.
Well, it has just a straight-up rank, yeah. But it works there because first you have to get there, so there's a smaller pool of people. But, I think you're right here. I think in a card game, it's not quite the same. But I will say Eternal does... a bronze, silver, gold, platinum system or whatever, diamond system. And it does work. But the way it works there is, like, when you win, your bar goes up a certain amount. When you lose, it goes down a little less. And yeah, then it's basically 0 to 100. And then once you hit that, you tick over to the next thing. And then you can't go backwards. So you're, like, at 0, like, no matter how many times you lose there. And then you kind of, like, progress like that. So it's okay and it does work, but it does feel... not as good in a card game, I think, as it does feel in other games.
Well, but I think you hit on a really good point there. And I think that this is one thing that this ladder change doesn't actually address, is that you're still winning and losing at an equal rate, right? Like, assuming, like, taking win streaks out of the equation, like, if you win a game, you get 1 star. If you lose a game, you lose a star. There is no, like, win 10 points, lose 5 points sort of a system. And I think that's still an issue they might need to look at eventually, but that depends, because like the reset was always the really, really big issue, right? So now if you don't have to do so much grinding as a Legend player to go through 16 ranks before you get to where you're supposed to be, like that, it, this smaller reset might just fix that problem because you have less games to play and less stars to grind. But it's still, I still think that that's, it's an issue that's got to be kind of in the back of their heads, just like, is this 1-to-1 win-lose ratio of stars actually appropriate?
I think
not
it's
that
good
I want to get into
end.
Any sort of like half star crap, but
no, I think it's good at the end. I think because to get into Legend, you want everyone who got into Legend to be a winning player, right?
Yeah,
somebody who had an above 50% win rate. I would not like to see people backing into the highest
rank possible, right?
And that's
I think you're at a lower level, you could have something like it's 10 stars, you get 2 for a win and minus 1 for a loss, something like that.
Yeah,
it'd be
something.
Okay. It'd be okay. This is okay too, though.
Yeah, I mean, but at a certain point, we're just back to having fewer stars and lower ranks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly the exact same thing. And I mean, the flip side of that is like, well, or at least my question to that concern of, is it okay to be 1-to-1? I mean, what is the opposite? We do already have win streaks with stars up to rank 5. What else do we need? Do you need to start counting losses less? Because there's definitely a balance, and it's already been brought up, which is we still want reaching Legend to be difficult. So at what point? Yeah. Every time I see this come up, I don't know, my brain immediately goes to, well, I think a lot of people want their losses softened, and
they do.
There are,
but if you think about it, they are.
Yeah,
they are softened, just in a different way than the way I described that Eternal does it, where it's just a smaller amount that you lose when you lose. Mm-hmm. They are softened with rank floors and win streaks. Mm-hmm. It's kind of done, roundabout way, and it's not obvious, but it's still there.
Yeah. No, that's kind of what I was getting at is this ladder system has grown on me, and I'm actually, as much as I'm sitting here going, boy, this took you this long, Team 5, I'm like, well, I'm also kind of glad you're not deviating that much from the system I've kind of softened to over the years.
I don't, just gotten really used to. I also will say this, I do like, because there was a little piece of me that was like, man, this took a really long time. The other part of me says, well, I'm glad that they just tried to get it right rather than just testing on us, right? Like, testing on us can be okay in some facets of the game, but think about things like synergy picks and arena. I would have preferred maybe they did a little more testing on that before just making it live, because it made arena suck for a while. I think this is well thought out, well designed. Clearly spent plenty of time on this. I don't think the feedback is going to be very negative once this actually rolls out live. I think we're going to see lots of people people who are worried and concerned about the more stars at lower ranks and things like that. I think once they actually see this in action, stop playing so many players with legend card backs at rank 23, they're going to be like, oh my God, this is actually way better.
Yeah.
On the subject of testing on us, I feel the opposite. Please continue doing it. Do it more often. Just for the love of God, react to it faster than you did to synergy picks in Arena. I'm fine seeing that. Just get rid of it sooner when we realize it's the worst idea ever. No. Before we move on from the ranked ladder rework, I'd want to mention it. This is in the post, but just in case you haven't read it, they have informed us about how they're going to implement this. So this will be basically hitting in March, but February sort of kind of plays a role in that we're going to rank up next month, you know, starting in 2 days, the same way we always have. We still have to hit rank 20 if you want your card back for February 2018 season. But at the end of that season, and it ticks over to March, our reset will be based on the new system, and the new system will take over. So you will only be set back four ranks.
It's weird. I'm wondering how many people are going to really make a push to try to get legend last time. It's like the hard way, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting to see. Like, is it going to be really competitive next month? Or is it going to actually be easier because so many players who don't make the grind usually are going to be up at high ranks? I'm curious. Yeah. My goal, I think, is I don't need to get legends, but I want to get pretty high on wild and standard next month so that I then start March with like out that much to grind.
Right? Well, and that's why I think that February is going to be so competitive, because you're not only going to have people grinding for legend, but you're going to have people grinding for the highest ranks that they've ever achieved. So say I'm a rank 5 player and I haven't bothered getting past, you know, rank 15 or even 10 in the last 6 months because I know I'm never going to get to legend. So there's not really a huge kind of motivator for me. This February rank play season and the 4 rank reset, that is going to be a huge motivator for me to start the next season, the March ladder, as high as I possibly can.
Oh, so, Jocelyn, you're my
spirit.
But
that's why the high ranks
might
be easier, because there's players who aren't as good,
who aren't
are just
used to
grinding more. Yeah,
that's true.
And so they're up there, and you can dunk on them while they're making misplays. Because right now, you get to like rank 5, and you're like, damn, everyone plays a lot of Hearthstone up here. Like,
yes. Oh, my God, yeah.
here's the insane one-two hurdle my brain went through the second I heard this. So I was like, sweet. I don't need to hit legend, but I would really like to hit rank 1 and start off March, you know, rank 5. And then my brain just goes, but you'd already be rank 1, so why not just push for friggin' legend?
Yeah, why not just get legend that much? Yeah.
Like, also rank 1's it's not that easy to get the rank 1. I haven't made it. I don't even think I've ever made it to rank 1. I've never been a legend player, by the way. If no one out there has ever heard this, send your emails. I don't care.
I did make it within 2 wins, so I was 4 stars rank 1.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even remember anymore. It was 3 or 2, and then I went on that backslide. This is back before rank floors. I know I ended at 7 because I remember that 7 is burned in my retina, and I have had shell shock since. But
that is a backslide, man. I've felt the backslide. I've gone from 2 to like 5 before, I think, but man.
Well, yeah,
frustrated and I stop.
I went from just into 2, it's like 1 or 2 stars into 2, back to like no stars rank 5 yesterday. And I was so frustrated because this month I was kind of quietly like going to try hard, and like I was really, really enjoying Spiteful Priest. I was playing more Hearthstone than I ever played before. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so close. And then I like lost so many games, and I was just like,
the issue is when you start thinking about it.
Because Dills and I actually played together last night because I was streaming some Hearthstone, and I'd been streaming for a couple hours, and I'd lost every game except an instant concede by a dude who clearly just didn't want to play against another priest, and I lost like every game on stream. And as soon as we got into Discord together and we're actually having a conversation, it's like I just got out of my head and started having fun. And like, it's not that Dills was giving me any tips I wasn't already doing. Like, we were all like, we were seeing all the same plays, but it just like having that distraction. We won. Like, I think we had, I'm looking at my stats. I think we had like a 92. I think we lost one game. We had like a 92.
We went back to rank 4. I remember.
Back to rank 4. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get so in my head when it comes.
That's the thing. I mean, that's why I give that advice of just play the X amount of games instead of, you know, think of getting to X rank, because you just have to think about each decision and is this the right one. And then when you lose, it's like, well, I made the right decisions, I think. And, you know, but you know what's going to be great about this change, too? I think ladder anxiety for a lot of people is going to subside quite a bit because all of a sudden it's as long as I got 4+ in my season, I'm making progress. You know, I'm moving up the notches and that's really going to be key. It's like I don't have to get legend this season. I could get higher than I was last season and then be like, okay, cool. I'm good. I could keep playing or not. You know, I got something done. And I think a lot of people are going to set those incremental goals for themselves rather than this one giant goal, right?
Yeah.
And the way my brain works, this is how I think it's going to affect me. I think the beginning of a new season is not going to be more stressful than the end. Because in my head, I just want to do 5 ranks. Once I get that 5th rank higher than I was previous season, I'm going to feel like, yeah, all right. We've done our homework for this month.
Yeah.
And well, I'll probably just
keep... that's the progression part.
Yeah. I sure. think my brain's just going to go, okay, now just play when you feel like playing. If you go up, rad. If you go down, it's fine. It's all okay.
Yeah.
I say that now.
Again, that basing your reset on the highest place that you reach during the season, I think is a big part of that too, where like it takes away the anxiety because you're just like, oh, well, my placement's going to be based on the, you know, rank 2 that I hit instead of the rank 5 that I ended up at. I can play fun decks. I think Shusuke in the chat room made a good point too, that because people don't have to do this crazy grind from, you know, 16 or below all the way back up to the place where they were at the end of the previous season, we might actually see some really interesting changes to the meta. We're going to be able to, you know, play some cooler decks, some slower decks, some, you know, things that aren't necessarily just like aggro druid, pirate warrior, face hunter, because you're trying to have as many games as you possibly can. In order to rank up, you're going to be able to experiment and play. And I think this might have more of an impact on the meta than even like the release of an expansion. Maybe not the release of the rotation of a standard year, because that's a huge shakeup, but just like the release of an expansion, I think has less of an impact than what this is actually going to have to the meta. For so long, we've been just living in an aggro world because of the way that the ladder works.
I'm just ecstatic. The more we talk about this, I'm just like, God, I love this change. I'm thoroughly just non-cynical, just happy about a change to Hearthstone, and it feels good.
Yeah, actually, like all the changes this week I've been pretty happy with, and it's funny. It's like usually I'm the one who's finding the things to like be like, well, it's not perfect, you know, but it's like, no, these are all amazing. Everything about this is just gonna be really good. I'm not so sure that we're gonna lose the aggro though, Jocelyn. I don't know if I'm on board with that one. I still think people are gonna be like, you know what's really good in Hearthstone is smashing your face. So I'm gonna keep doing that, and it's gonna work.
I'm not saying it's gonna go away completely. I'm just saying that there's more space to experiment.
It'll probably slow down at lower ranks for sure.
Yeah.
I think definitely around that there's gonna be, because right now there's always kind of this ebb and flow as you climb. Mm-hmm. So somebody even made a Reddit post about this where they were like, okay, here's what you do. Like, first you play aggro paladin and you just zoom, zoom, zoom through all the lower ranks. Then when you get to 5, now you got to switch to Q block, because now you're going to start seeing all these people who are playing aggro at 5 trying to like blow into, you know, rank legend or 1 or whatever. And then once you get to 2, now you switch over to priest, because that's where all the Q blocks suddenly are, because they're trying to do what you were doing, getting to 2, and now you take advantage of those. Like that does happen. You can actually kind of notice as you go through the mentality of the players kind of change, or even as the season gets longer. Like when you get to the 25th, all of a sudden people are like, I don't have much time to get the legend. Oh God, aggro, and so that kind of stuff,
which
I think
is
will definitely
the mistake
change
that I made.
Yeah, sure. But that, I mean, that stuff will change, but I do think most of the time what I see, I think what most people do is they pick a deck that they think is the best and is going to win, and that's what they play, and that's why you always just see like the best decks on the ladder all the time, because they're like,
well, and
I know this
point,
is the best deck, so this is what I'm gonna play.
My point wasn't that aggro is suddenly going to be bad. It's that there's going to be a little bit more room on the ladder to not necessarily have to play fast games.
It all comes back to alleviating ladder anxiety. And the more you alleviate that, the more mental space we make for experimentation. Which I like.
Yeah, and the rank floor thing I think is also going to be pretty interesting, because now you kind of have rank floors everywhere, right? Like almost every rank could be considered a rank floor to you. If it's like as high as you need to get, like you said, oh, I've gotten five now, my homework's done, now I'll play whatever. That might mean that there's just a lot more memers on the ladder too, which I am all for. Please, let's meme. Let's all meme together.
Come meme with us, everybody.
That'll be fun.
That'll be the sequel podcast, The Angry Chamber.
Let's play Jungle Giants, Deathwing, Double Charge, Devil Sword, Cube Lock.
Yeah.
Cube Druid. The hell we're yeah.
Yep. Which, by the way, if you didn't catch the live stream, patrons, the VOD will be up very soon for that. Let's take a quick break and thank our sponsors before we move in and talk about the announced balance changes. We are sponsored this week by HelloFresh.com, proudly sponsored, I might add. As I've mentioned before, they're more or less solely responsible for keeping me alive and healthy. But if you have never heard us talk about HelloFresh before, there's quite a few reasons you should probably check them out. They deliver ready to cook fresh meals to your doorstep. On top of that, that delivery is pretty convenient. You can choose what day works for you, which I kind of like, you know, to know when my food is showing up at my door. So that's nice. And you can pause it when you're traveling, which is also good. So my neighbors don't just take my food.
Damn grabby neighbors.
Listen, no one ever said that
everyone wants the HelloFresh. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like, Garrett does podcasts. Who do you get sponsored by? Oh, HelloFresh? Wait in his bushes. On top of that, you can customize the type of meals that they send you. They have three plans: classic, veggie, and family. So you're not just stuck with one type of meal plan. I really like that I don't have to plan and go out and like gather everything I need for these meals, which is why I would typically not eat healthy when left to my own devices. Instead, it just shows up at my door. It's like less than $10 a meal in most cases. Like, awesome. I don't need to go to the grocery store, which right now the snowbirds are in Florida. So that's a huge plus for me. And I can even fit them in before evening podcasts. That is Thursday nights before Into the Nexus are nuts. So these meals take around 30 minutes to make. So you can get them in before anything you need to do in the evening, like playing more Hearthstone and getting those five ranks after this change is made.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, I mean, one of the best things is just the variety. You get to try things that are outside of your comfort zone. Even the burgers, when they send me burgers, they're burgers I've never even tried. Like, there's cheeses and toppings that are not things I would ever think to put on a burger of all things, guys. It's awesome.
I like their buns. The buns that they send with the burgers, I'm like, what? This isn't a burger bun. Turns out, guys, lots of things are burger buns.
Yep. Even the vessel that cradles your burger is fancier than anything you probably would have found if you had to go out and get it yourself. So we're all big fans here of HelloFresh. I thank them for supporting the show. I also thank them for supporting our kitchen with meals that I should probably actually be putting in my body. And as always, they have that code TAC30 for you. So if you want $30 off of your first week of deliveries, go to HelloFresh.com and enter TAC30 when you subscribe. We thank them for supporting our show. Now let's talk about those balance changes, because finally hearing that a ranked update was coming was not enough for 1 week of Hearthstone. We had to hear about some heavy nerf bats being swung.
In a couple of cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple things getting smacked down a bit, or to start us off in bone marrow, getting smacked up by one mana. Your bone marrows are going to now cost you 8 mana to play once this update goes live.
So this, I think, is a good change. I don't necessarily think the mana cost was ever the problem necessarily with bone marrow. I think it's the 4/4 buff is the really big thing, but I'm glad it's seeing a change.
I think this is the best way to change this card. This card isn't that crazy, and it's just you need a little time to get ready for it. And also, it's just it's like you didn't have to do too much to it. You just need to make it fair, right? It's like right now it's just too far above what an average card does. So if you think of like 9/9 stats for 7, 4/4 of them get charge and taunt.
Yeah,
pretty crazy. 9/9 stats for 8 and 4/4 of them get charged. Not that crazy. Like, it's just, you know, that's kind of fine. So the explanation that they used was just that it gives you like one more turn to kind of set up for it, right? And yeah. I think that's pretty significant. The other thing that's kind of interesting about it is now it suddenly is it's in that pool of Free from Amber. So
yes. Yeah,
stealth nerf to Free from Amber. But yeah, and also I think that this is just, it's a card that was just really, really good everywhere. And I think you don't want cards that are just really, really good everywhere, right? Like it was just one of those things where if I had it in Arena, I just won. And if you had it in Arena, you just won. And I don't like that. So this is just a solid change. Just bring it back in line. Nothing too crazy with the card.
Yeah.
It's still playable.
Yeah. This card will still see play if tempo decks are still a thing. And the other changes might make tempo decks not a thing. So
yeah,
that's really, I think, what matters more than this. If nothing else changed and Bone Mare just went from 7 to 8, everything else stayed the same, Bone Mare would still just be in all the tempo decks.
Yeah, I think that's good to point out. Like this combined with the other minions that got nerfs. At first I was looking at this, I'm like, this just seems like more Azure, like they're fighting more Azure Drakes. Like these are all cards that are in way too many decks. But you're right. Once you put the puzzle pieces together, you're just like, oh God, is there a war on tempo decks all of a sudden? What just happened?
I mean, to be fair though, I don't mind if there is, because right now Hearthstone does feel pretty linear. And you know, I do understand why minion battling and all that is really important. It is still what makes Hearthstone. I think it's where most of the complexity in Hearthstone comes from. Like a lot of people who play other card games, they're like, oh, Hearthstone, that's just a kid's game. There's no complexity. It's like, well, actually, the minions keeping the damage is a huge thing that makes board states really interesting and complex. And it's one of the things that like Magic and Eternal and stuff like don't have. Like in Eternal, there's a lot of board states where you're just like, yeah, the correct answer here is nobody attacks for a long time. And Hearthstone has none of that. There is never a board state where it's like, yeah, the correct thing is like we just never attack, unless there's like a whole bunch of Tar Creepers around or something. But there's a lot of complexity around how minions end up attacking and keeping their damage and stuff. And that's, it's really what makes Hearthstone so interesting. But the problem is we kind of got to the state where everybody was just one drop on one, two drop on two, three drop on three, four, you know, just, I just play a minion every turn and then do stuff. And it was losing some of the thought process of holding cards back or saving up for a combo or all that kind of stuff. And just the best thing to do is just play on curve. And I would like to see them lessen that. That's just a little bit too much. But when there's Bone Mare and Corridor Creeper and patches and, you know, all this other stuff.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Corridor Creeper, I'm trying to decide whether Patches or Corridor Creeper got hit harder. I'm trying to decide which one is bleeding out on the side of the road more. But Corridor Creeper is going from 5 attack to 2 attack. No other changes. So still 7 mana, still has 5 health, still costs 1 less when minions die.
There was lots of ways they could have changed this card. And I don't disagree with this, the philosophy that they used around changing it, because the real issue with Corridor Creeper wasn't necessarily its mana cost, because its mana cost was basically zero. The issue was once you put it on the board for zero, it's just such a huge swing, right? And I would have preferred, I think, if they made it a 3/4. Someone in my chat had brought up that as a potential change. I was like, that's probably better than this 2/5 thing. 2/5 might just kill it. 3/4 might mean it's still a thing. Right. So I think in its current state, it's probably dead.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea, which is kind of the way that I thought when we were doing set reviews that the card worked, was that it, when your minions died, then it got the buff on the mana, like it cost less mana. That's the way I thought it was supposed to work. And then when it actually came out, we started playing it. I was like, oh no, like all minions. Yeah. And that was insane. So I feel like if it was only your own minions, you might play it in a certain kind of deck, and that would be interesting to build like a Corridor Creeper deck.
Play it in a token deck or something.
Yeah, exactly. Play it in a token deck. And I think that would be a really kind of interesting archetype to explore. But yeah, at 2/5 now, they beat this thing into the ground.
Well, okay, but I think it's okay to beat this. A lot of times people are like, when they nerf a card, it's like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you making a card bad? And like, I don't think that it's wrong to make a card bad.
Especially in Epic, because everyone was complaining about like the expense of Hearthstone and how you had to have two of all these Epic cards. And especially in the last couple of sets, there'd been so many good Epics where they used to be like the kooky cards, you know?
It's not always the same people complaining,
though,
right?
The issue, though, is if you do anything that just keeps it as a 5/5 and still somehow can make it into a zero mana 5/5, the problem of Corridor Creeper never goes away.
Yeah.
Like the problem is when you make a card cost zero and it's a friggin' 5/5, it's just like, it's just too much of an impact and it's too important of a card to draw or not draw.
Yeah.
And like, I would have liked to have seen them change Kel'Seth while they're at it, because I hate these cards where it's just like, hey, I drew it, I win. Oh, I didn't draw it, I don't win. Like, I don't like that. And we saw this a bunch of times in the World Championship where one guy had both his Corridor Creepers and the casters are sitting there talking about it as if there's still a game of Hearthstone going on. But really, one guy just drew his Corridor Creepers, right?
Yeah.
So this does address that issue, which is what the real issue of the card was. It always was. So
that's,
I don't think they could legitimately do anything just with the mana of it and still not make it the problem card it is. Right.
Right. No, and I don't think mana change is the thing. I think, like I said, I still like the friendly minion thing instead of just a minion, but
It'd be okay, but it just wouldn't really, like I was, it just wouldn't really fix what the problem with the card is. Yeah. So, so someone in the chat just brought up the zero mana 5/5 for mages. I mean, that's a class card, so it's different. It's allowed to be, and playing through secrets is a little bit tricky. It takes some time. You know, it's Corridor Creeper was coming out on like turns, 2 and 3 and stuff. And,
If we wanted this still to be playable, I would have loved them to make it that 3/4 that you mentioned, and also give it a green background and make it a hunter card. Because my issue with Corridor Creeper,
I don't think we'll ever see that though.
No, I don't think we will either.
From a neutral,
just
to
moving
a
it into
card.
A class. Yeah. I know, but it would be. I think that would work too. Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That would totally work.
But, yeah, because
I wish they would. But
I'm very much kind of in your school of thought right now, Dills, which is Corridor Creeper took a lot of the asymmetry out of Hearthstone for me. It didn't matter who I was playing, what deck they were playing, what class they were playing. Chances are, they were rolling with 2 Corridor Creepers, and a lot of times the games felt like they came down to, well, who had a Corridor Creeper in their hand when the board wipe came out? And that just, I don't like that. I love mirror matches. That's great, but that it's rare typically when you're playing, and when it comes up, it's own can of worms. I don't want to have to play
can
very
of
similar
creepers?
Can of creepers. Thank you. Yeah, I like it. Creeper can.
But no, I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think a mirror match is so interesting when there's back and forth play and not just who drew the broken card. So the less they can have of these broken cards that are just so important to draw, the better. I think that, and obviously it's still a card game, so someone's going to draw better or worse, and that's fine. That's okay. You just want to minimize that variance as much as possible. That makes the game more fun. So.
PJ Guitarist says canned creepers is another tack product to sell. Be one of those fake can of peanuts, but a Corridor Creeper will shoot out your face.
Yeah. My God.
It would have been a lot bigger before. We'll have to take it down to a size 2 from a size 5, though. So that was a stupid joke. Rip Corridor Creeper, man.
Probably.
Yeah, or celebrate that rip Corridor. This card was really bugging me. I'm all for this.
Yeah, I've been very happy with this standard year overall. Corridor Creeper has been a rub.
Really? Just Corridor Creeper, not the next one or next two, really?
but we're getting there, Jocelyn. We're getting there.
I know.
We're getting there. One of these is a class legendary. I didn't see it as often.
Yeah.
The other patches.
Wait, you didn't see it as often? Because I think I saw this every other game.
No, not since Spiteful Priest became a thing, man. Nah. Priest got varied this expansion in my matchups. But first up, let's talk about patches. Okay. He's the same, except Charge is no longer on his card anywhere to be found. Which is huge.
Yep. Pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Yep.
So really what this means is that you will not see the random pirate package in decks that rightfully should never be running pirate packages, right? And I think that's great. Like, Priest just running South Sea Captains and patches was just silly. And it just goes to show you, like, how friggin' good and how important the early game is in Hearthstone, is that if you get that 2/2 with charge and you take the board, then you snowball into a win every time. And, this card will still see play if there's a deck that runs 15 pirates, right? You'll still be like, hey, getting a free 1/1 onto the board and like essentially drawing it out of my deck is still going to be good, but only in that deck, right? It's not just going to be like, oh, every tempo deck just runs South Sea Captain and Apaches and then builds the rest of the deck. And that's great. Like, that was just, it was getting silly. It was like, Reyna did a video about it And it was like, yeah, you know, mage, man, that should be a class where I, you know, I'm casting spells and I'm putting up defensive things. He's like, you know what the best version of mage is? Just play all the tempo cards with Southsea Captains and Patches. And it's just like, yeah, that's silly. So
yep.
I'm very happy about this. This is a great change.
It's the one of the most obvious things Team 5 always fights back against, right? Is the, oh, well, just start with this and now build your deck.
Yeah, we saw it in old vanilla Hearthstone, and it just kind of came back with some of the N'Goro to now cards that we've seen. Where and we're, these are all kind of the cards up till now, anyway, that were that kind of that part of that package, right? It was the tempo package, right? It was Corridor Creeper, Bone Mare, Southsea Captain, Patches, Cobalt Scalebane, like all those cards were just part of that. That just okay, I'm a tempo deck, and then what else do I got? I got some class cards. Cool, throw those in. And you know, it's you don't want to see Hearthstone be a cookie cutter style game. You want every class to feel really different, and some of these cards were making that not possible.
Well, and I still think it's playable though. Like you said, I don't think this is actually going to be terrible. Like this is going to go in like Pirate Warrior, and especially in Wild with the ship's cannon and stuff. Like it's going to go in the decks where it belongs, and I think it still could potentially have a place in some sort of a tempo deck because you know you've got, like you mentioned, Scalebane. Like you want bodies on the board for stuff like that. So I think it still has a place, but you're right. It's not going to go everywhere. And I think that that's good.
And it's not going to be part of that little three pirate. Yeah, pack. That's the thing. It's like, you better be running a lot of pirates for this to make any kind of sense. Right. So Pirate Warrior in Wild, Pirate Rogue in Wild. The other thing to think about with this change and the next one too, that makes me very excited is the fact that clearly Wild matters all of a sudden to them. Yeah. They made these changes.
They made a change,
so
even
deep
though they're
into
rotating.
Their rotation. Yeah. They're going to Wild. They realize that if these just exist forever in Wild, it's just going to make it, you know, this terrible place to play. And that's not what, like, that's going to just discourage people from playing there. No one's going to play there because they're going to be like, dude, I don't want to go over there where Raza and Patches are still running Wild. Like, no.
I feel about Reno.
So I love the fact that's one of the hugest things about these two changes is that Wild clearly seems to matter to them now. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, that was that kind of blew my mind a little bit when I saw that. That was my initial reaction was, why now? Oh, wait, Wild. Oh, this is great. Thank you. Because I feel like that's been coming up a lot recently. Like, and when I say recently, like maybe the last 6 months on this show, every now and then we come back to, well, they should make changes for Wild, but they haven't. Well, now they have.
Yeah. And now here we go.
Yeah.
The other thing too is there's a lot of talk about what's going to be Hall of Famed by a lot of people, and so that's always obviously going to make a huge deal as well to these changes, but to other stuff that we'll probably get to after this. But it's, you know, it's really interesting to me that Wild has been such an afterthought for so long, and as the game continues to get more into its expansion cycles, and there's just more and more cards out there, I think more people are going to gravitate to Wild because it's just going to be a very, very interesting play. It already is. Like right now, it's crazy. And I love it because it's crazy. But it's gotta still be somewhat balanced. It can't just be absolutely
like
nuts.
Super crazy. Right? Yeah.
Right. There has to be levels to the crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. And that's how it should work, right? Like, I mean, it's impossible not to have so many cards continue to get added into an endless pile of options and for a format not to get completely bonkers. But the thing you also see, I mean, this happens in Magic, not that I play Constructed Magic well ever, but in the formats where there's no restrictions on the cards that you play, you see the meta change very, very slowly. I don't think it's necessarily...
I mean, a card's good forever because it's just good, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So with this also even kind of combats that, even though we haven't really seen that with Hearthstone, because as we talked about, I think a couple episodes ago, I'm pretty sure the latest cards are the most powerful cards. So, I mean, a lot of the like Corridor Creeper getting reined in and whatnot, like that's huge. But this helps combat that as well because it's going to be a big change for Wild. But let's talk about the final card. It's getting changed. Raza the Chained, for you priest players out there. It's exactly the same, except the battle cry now makes your hero power cost one for the rest of that game.
No more freebies, you damn priest.
This is great because it's still a good card, right? Like having your hero power be one when you get your Death Knight going is still going to be pretty good, but you're never going to take 44 damage in a turn anymore, right? Yeah. Which we saw in the World Championships was that, you know, I can't remember exactly what game it was, but a guy was at 42 life. He was trying to out-armor the priest, and then I think it was Surrender who was playing the priest, was just like, hey, I got 44 lethal. Yeah. And that's stupid. That shouldn't happen, right? Especially a priest shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
So,
like, maybe a full-on crazy spelly burn mage. That would be a thing that they should be able to do. Is just, like, build up, burn your face. Yeah, like that. But that, to me, makes sense. Versus, this.
So this card is also, this is another change that's just like, okay, Wild is going to exist forever with this card. Holy crap, can we really allow this to happen, right? Because as cards continue to come out, this Raza, because they also get Reno back. You know, I mean, think about like what they actually have in Wild. That Reno tool makes that deck even better than we think it is. Yeah. Like, it's one of the best freaking decks in Wild. So, you know, it's really great because I think this is still going to be a very powerful deck in Wild because Reno's added to the deck. It's just not going to be, you know, this completely broken deck that everyone's friggin' playing forever. So, great change. Perfect change. This is exactly what it should have been the whole time, probably, right?
Yeah. Balanced. I just keep wanting, like, all these card changes I want to be, like, on brand. This is on brand for Team 5 nerfs. Like, does it give you way too much damage to do a one-turn kill? It's getting nerfed. Is it included in far too many decks? It's getting nerfed. Bone Mare is about maybe the only one, but even that is just, that's just a strong card.
Sure.
Needs to get reined in.
Yeah, and that card, I think all of these changes are pretty good. Now, I don't disagree with people who are saying Corridor Creeper just got straight up axed from the game. And but I also just think that's okay. I'm okay with sometimes cards getting axed from the game.
Yep.
It just opens up space to play different cards, other cards, start thinking about things we haven't thought about before, start trying things we haven't tried before. I'm excited to see what this actually does to the meta. Now, we got to talk about the Warlock thing, because that was the other big thing everyone was talking about, was where the hell are the Warlock nerfs?
Immediately.
And it comes across as weird, right? A little bit.
I'll say it's on brand. The Warlocks that we're afraid of right now have not been on the scene that long.
That's the biggest thing.
Patches is getting nerfed. Patches has run his course, man. Raza has run his course. They've had their basically entire standard rotation of almost 2 years to run amok.
Yeah.
Q block and the original, I was kind of calling it control lock version of it, that's, you know, doesn't have cubes in it, is fresher on the scene. Now, I personally don't feel that's a good enough of an excuse. I think these decks have already been proven to be ridiculous.
Sure.
But
it is a really, really strong deck. As we saw at the World Championships, it was the number one ban, right? So, everybody considers that to be essentially the best deck in the format. So it is kind of bizarre that when nerfs happen, the consensus best deck in the format doesn't see any of them. But I think you're absolutely right. It's just that those cards are so new that it's tough to make that change yet, right? Now, I hope that if it gets crazy, that they're willing to make a change quicker than normal. But I do understand that they wanted to be a little hesitant on this.
Well, and I think that we might potentially see changes quicker if it stays like kind of super powerful and oppressive in the next rotation, like in the standard rotation with the next expansion, because they have the ability to, you know, give us cards to let Warlock be powerful, to let Warlock do its thing for a couple more months. Then when we get our rotation, you know, there might be some tools that we can use to combat this deck. And I think that's fine. Like, there's always going to be a best deck. This is kind of the thing I think we talked about like 6 months ago, warning a little bit about Warlock. Like, everyone was saying, oh, Warlock's never played. No one plays Warlock. They're so weak now. It's like, they were powerful through the entire history of Hearthstone. They had like one expansion where they weren't the most powerful deck, and now they're back again. Like, careful what you wish for, guys.
Warlock is always going to be on the cusp of being super powerful just because it's hero power.
Because the hero power,
basically the best hero power in the game. But I think the other thing, too, that we should all kind of consider here is the fact that if it is the de facto number one deck, because basically what we had was we had two of them, right?
Yeah.
And when there's two of them, it's a little awkward because what do? Can you really, you can't necessarily like counter two decks, right? So you just kind of pick one and go with it. If there is just one de facto best deck, then basically everyone's trying to counter it. And suddenly it might not be the best deck anymore. So we kind of got to see how things play out before we really just go, oh my God, Warlock's going to be completely broken. It's like, well, maybe everyone's going to start countering and it's going to totally suck because you can't win it with it anymore because everyone's trying to beat it. The other thing too is it was, you know what it was really good against? It was tempo decks. Tempo decks are basically not necessarily going to be the thing anymore because once you put those 3/9s up, that death rattle into more taunts, like you could never hit face with minions anymore. So now all of a sudden, I think we're just going to see a lot more like quest mages and
lots of
burn
spells.
Mages and maybe Malagos druids and things that can, you know, throw the damage.
They don't care
taunts.
About the taunt.
Secret mage also, like it's just keeps burning your face. It doesn't care about a 3/9. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a response that then makes it kind of OK. Plus, there's things like silence that just almost straight up counter the deck. So,
It's worth bringing up, though. Highlander Priest was a troublesome matchup for this deck as well. And that's.
Yes. And that's getting nerfed.
Yeah.
Well, but I think there's still like, because we were playing Spite. I know I talked a lot about Spiteful Priest just over the last few weeks, but I can't stress enough how much fun I'm having with that deck. But with the two mind controls, I mean, I never really had a problem with Cube Warlock. My problems were always like Raza Priest. So if Raza Priest is going away, then, you know, I feel like there's just, like Dill said, there's more room for decks that counter the Warlock. And so I think that this might actually end up with, but like, they're not necessarily super powerful in and of themselves. Like the Warlock deck is super powerful in and of itself, but like the counter decks are built in a way that they counter Warlock, and they have their own thing that they're kind of doing, and they have their own win conditions, but like they're a little bit more even against each other, and they're just favored against the Warlock. And I think that that's good. That's the way we kind of want a meta to be, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just agree. Spiteful Priest is just a good matchup against Cube. Right.
But now Spiteful Priest might not. It's definitely not going to look the same because you're going to take out the corridor creepers. You're going to take out the patches and all that kind of stuff. Although I think Joss's your version didn't run patches, right? So really it's the corridor creepers that are going to come out of that. And did you even run bone? You didn't run bone mares either, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
Most
so obviously
do, though.
Like Spiteful's summoner is still a really good card. It's just you're losing corridor creepers. Now you got to find something else to throw in there.
Yep. Yeah. But I still think that's totally fine.
Sure. You know, it's pretty good. It's 8/8 for 5. You might throw those in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bone mares are getting more expensive, but yeah, such as life, right? Yeah, I mean, that's just very rational, very rational takes, guys. How are we going to get views and upvotes? Come on.
Honestly, looking around the internet, there was a lot of rational takes this time around. Usually there's people freaking out. A lot of people outside of some people going ridiculously over the, you know, just too much reaction about the Warlock thing without any information really yet. Like, you know, we're all making assumptions when we talk about the Warlock's going to be the best deck, right?
Yeah.
We haven't seen it yet. But by and large, man, I was reading like Reddit and everything. People were just pretty happy. And that was surprising. It was refreshing almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
Look, Reddit's happy. They must be doing something right.
The two strongest responses I've seen is the Warlock thing and Highlander Priest players being kind of
upset.
They had their day.
Well,
it's been long enough.
I would say in their defense, I understand Priest was crap for so long.
But there's so many builds now. You don't have to Raza Priest. There's a lot of different ways that you can build a Priest that are Priests still viable. So they're not Priests aren't going anywhere. Raza Priests are. Really
you got Big Priest. You got Spiteful Priest. You got all this stuff. The one thing I will say, though, is I always do understand because people kind of fall for decks, right? People find a deck that they really enjoy and they wish that they could have it forever. And, I had a guy in my chat last night. Yeah, sure. A guy in my chat last night being like, I'm so happy about Cube Lock because it feels like old school hand lock to me, right? Like I tap a bunch and then I do a bunch of powerful things all of a sudden. And like, I get that. You miss your favorite decks.
Yeah. But that's the case of an online game. We have very similar. God, this feels like I'm on Into the Nexus. This feels like a conversation about Heroes. It's just like, oh, well, there's another patch. everything I knew about this game has just been thrown out the window and I have to learn it all over again. It doesn't happen nearly as much in Hearthstone. I'm not sure I want it as frequently as Heroes. Frankly, I think Heroes needs to calm down a little bit. But yeah, there's a happy medium somewhere. But
I mean, it's also card games, right? Card games, you have to be, if you want to play card games, you have to understand that over time, new cards come out and things change and, you know, cards rotate out and all that kind of stuff. So you can't really get married to decks as much. Like I hear some people talk about maining a deck in Hearthstone. I'm like, man, it's the wrong game to main something in. Like, I get it. I understand a lot of people like to, you know, pick a thing and stick with it, but it's not like World of Warcraft. Like, you don't pick a class and then, you know, you have to level the next one up. It's like, you got to earn some cards, but yeah, you should probably have a few decks you can play and like.
Kind of main. I feel like I usually have like three that I always really play.
Sure. And I mean, there's definitely, like, if you look at my wins, I have way more with Warlock than anything else. Like, it's just, you know, there's certain classes I come back to all the time.
Yeah. So, well, anyways, what a just nutsoid week to be to cover Hearthstone. I'm very happy with these changes. I mean, quick wrap up question for these changes: are there any of these cards you're not just going to instantly disenchant? Bone Mare being a common, maybe taken out of this discussion.
Quarter Creepers, I'm going to go ahead and dust those, but I don't care enough about dust to do the other ones.
Mm.
I'm going to be playing wild, so
yeah, I'm probably going to keep the other two.
Gotcha. See what I always do. Because I'm right on the cusp of being like a Hearthstone 1%er. I put a lot of money in this game, but not as much as a lot of other people. So I instant, like, if I even kind of think like, I just dust it, because I could always just recraft them again. You only have a 2-week window to get your full dust refund. So
sure,
I don't wait to see how things are going to shake out. I just get rid of that sucker immediately. And if it turns out it's still good, I just recraft it.
I mean, that's true. I don't see myself actually spending, like, okay, so the reason why Corridor Creeper makes sense to dust for me too is that I could potentially open another one pretty easily, but Araza might be a little tougher for me to open at this point. I'm not opening a lot of of gadgets and packs.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Same for patches.
Yeah.
Sure.
The gadgets and packs. Well. Well,
but like, I am still opening recent pet. Like, it's just how it is, right? I will probably dust all of these if I have them on my other accounts, though. My other accounts, I definitely need the dust. So,
bye bye.
Yep.
See you guys. Sorry.
Well, main account, I just want all the cards, so I kind of am more hesitant to dust things.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. Let's wrap this episode up with an email or two.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello. Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
You may send your emails to tacpodcast@gmail.com. Steph Buckle writes in and says, hello, Raging Rhode Island Reds. That's a new one. I don't think we've gotten that one before.
I think it's a kind of chicken.
I believe it is as well.
I'm going to guess the Rhode Island Red is a kind of chicken.
I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with it. Yeah.
Next level analysis right here.
As I've been saying, it's on brand. On brand. It's one of your bosses here, and I need some stats for the next shareholders meeting. What is the memeiest card ever in Hearthstone and why? I'm off to play golf with Brian from finance, so if you leave your answers with Tina before you clock off today, that would be great. Signed, Steph Buckle, Junior Manager, Tech Incorporated. Oh, the Patreon roleplay is too strong. It's too strong.
I had to include this one.
Yeah. Boy.
Bear Noggenfogger.
damn it! You stole it. You stole it. I was blanking on the name. I'm like, who's the goblin that I went on a rant about at the top of an episode like a year ago?
Yep.
Yeah, Noggenfogger is pretty memey. Can make an argument for the tunneling weaseler. What is it? Yeah. What is the
weasel tunneler?
Weasel tunneler. Yeah. Savitz recently made a deck where it basically was trying to give people tons of weasels. That was pretty cool. Pretty memey.
There's also that, what's the one in Warlock that, like, you give to your opponent and then do, like, the crazy defile stuff and it discards their whole hand. But, what is that? Howlfiend.
Halfine's pretty nuts.
You treachery it and then defile and make treachery, him discard everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. I'm also going to go with the Archmage or Archbishop Benedictus.
Oh, yeah. Benedictus is a
fun card, man. I still love my milkshake deck, but the problem is it was working for me so good until everybody in WoW figured out what the actual good decks were, and then suddenly I was like, oh, God. They're all just murdering me with giants and stuff. So it stopped working. But, man, that was fun just because the idea was that I would hem it all my cards away. Then I would draw into my Raza and my Death Knight, and then I would Archbishop their deck so that I could then finish them off and I would never lose in fatigue. It was pretty cool.
I would also like to, for your consideration, put forward Explore Un'Goro.
Ooh, that I think is up there with like Renounce Darkness, the stuff that just like changes your whole deck.
Renounce was, I actually for a while was playing like a Zoo Renounce deck that was actually winning. I was kind of surprised, but then it's just, you know, you could never have a consistent good win rate with it, right? Because every now and then you would just fill your deck with crap. But having that discount on all your cards, like sometimes you just be like, wow, look at all these great cards that cost one less. Holy crap. Like, this is awesome.
It was kind of, I think I remember you talking about it on the show. I feel like you're, the way you sold it was, well, but Zoo's just not working anymore. When the game gets a little long in the tooth, I just hit my emergency button and see how things shake out. It was,
and then suddenly I'm a hunter, you know, and I'm like, cool, now I just finish you off.
And the only way I win this game right now is if I randomly become a hunter. Oh, hey!
What do you know?
Yeah, not bad. There's just too many of them to really be able to pick and choose one, you know, but I mean, you could even say stuff like Emperor Thorason because he enables the memes, right? Like, there's just so many cards over time.
Depends what you mean as memes too. Like, do you mean like the most fun card to build a deck around, or the things that like the Hearthstone subreddit talk the most about? Because then I would say like 4-mana 7/7, right?
Sure.
Like, that was a huge. That's
the memeiest card ever.
Yeah, it's overused now. Like, it's all over the place.
Yeah, or is it a meme deck that people actually play? Because then I think Weasel Tunneler is the winner. In our circle, it would be Milkshake.
Yeah. Sure. Yep.
Anything where you're stealing cards from other people, I'm in.
You're sold. Well, awesome. Well, thank you, boss Steph Buckle. I really hope, by the way, that like in his little role play here, I hope his friends Brian and Tina are also Angry Chicken patrons, and he's actually going to play golf with them.
Yeah,
he's actually going to go play golf.
Is our boss? Yeah,
makes sense. That'd be wonderful. That would be so good. But hey, Joss, who's bringing us home with a final email today?
This one comes to us from Peter, who says, "Hello, Furious Fowl. I'm playing the Malygos combo druid recently featured by Crypt, which is quite the tricky deck to pilot and a lot of fun. The thing is, when I look at HS replay stats, the best card to keep in the mulligan is Wildgrowth, Natch, followed by Coon. Coon? Why? Please find the attached picture of offending nonsense. I am so confused. Coon isn't even the best standalone part of the combo. That would be Malygos or Aviana, for who all intents and purposes is the exact same card as Coon, one of the first two cards you play to make the combo work. And it's at the bottom. Nothing makes sense. I'm so confused." So this is basically a question from a listener trying to figure out how to actually read the stats on the mulligan guide in HS Replay. So we use HS Replay all the time here at Angry Chicken. They recently partnered with Blizzard and gave us all of the stats for HCP. So we thought this would be kind of a cool, important thing to talk about. And basically, even though the win rate for your mulligan, if you have Coon in your hand, is high, the actual kept rate, which is the next column over, is low. And that's the difference. So when you're looking at the mulligan win rate, that's the win rate when the card ended up in your opening hand. That's not saying that you chose to keep it. It's saying when you had it, you won X number of games. So I think that's like the thing that you have to keep in mind there is when you're looking at the stats, you don't just look at the one column. You have to kind of look at everything on the whole. Because if you look at the kept rate for Coon, it's actually only 7%. So most people, 93% of people who drew Coon threw it away.
Yes, that's exactly. You need to look at all of the different columns. Yeah.
There's also stuff
it's a sample size issue, right? Because if you look the sample size you look at here, it's like, 6,100 games. That's a lot of games, right? So this should be pretty solid data. But yeah, you're right. Like, so it was kept 7.6% of the time, which means that it was only in about 400 or so games. It was kept. So that's 400 games of data. So not 6,100 anymore. 400 games of that. And then 1 out of 30 times when it wasn't about 1 out of 30 times. I mean, I guess it's probably not exactly that because you don't know how many cards they mulligan. But we'll just round somewhere around there. That's how many times it showed up in your opening hand. So you're probably actually only looking at, 700, 800 games of data. And right. Yeah, it won that high percentage of a time when it was in your hand. But it's not actually 6,100 games of data for that card. It's like less than 1,000. Right.
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 So there's just a weird deviation there where it's within, it's the, the error rate of how many times you had it to how often you actually should win when you have it in your hand.
Well, and the other thing, when we're looking at these 6,100 games, you're also looking at every single opponent, right? So that's the other thing that you can do on HS Replay is actually select the opponent. And then obviously that cuts the sample size way down again. So sometimes it's useful, sometimes it's not. Basically, when you're looking at HS Replay, it's giving you like a starting point, but you still have to like use your knowledge of the matchups and know what you potentially need. Because even like, let's say you selected your opponent and you pick Priest. Well, there's Big Priest, there's Raza Priest, there's Spiteful Priest, and those all play quite differently. So, which cards do you keep versus even one type of opponent is going to potentially be different. So this is a good way to get a really quick look at what is, good to have early on in the game. But then there's also stats further on along in the chart that show you like your played win rates with the cards, like how long cards were held. So, like some cards you want to play on turn one and two, some cards might have a low mana cost, but you hang on to them for a very long time. So, there's a lot of information there that you kind of have to parse together to kind of supplement your own knowledge of the games and the matchups and the cards. You're not necessarily just going, okay, I guess Wild Growth is a bad example because Druids always want Wild Growth, but you're not necessarily looking at, say, Kuhn and going, 66% win rate in my opening hand. I need to have that card. I need to mulligan for that card. No, you absolutely do not.
Yeah, the other thing to look at here, too, is when you look at played win rate, a card like Wild Growth, great in your opening hand, but you look at its played win rate, it's really like not much higher than when you have it in your opening hand. So it overall doesn't really change your actual win rate as the game progresses. And then you look and you see like, Kuhn and Aviana, when I play those, I win all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I did the combo, right?
She did the combo, yeah.
All these things are really interesting as starting points, but you have to analyze this data. You can't just read it and then just go, cool.
And blindly choose, yeah.
And I use this stuff all the time. I like Jocelyn was saying, when I'm playing a certain deck that I haven't played a lot of, like I was playing a bunch of Q block. And I'm clicking on, my matchup is Druid. What are the good cards to keep against Druid? It gives you a nice, easy starting point. But then, it was telling me stuff like, don't keep Possessed Lackey. And I'm like, no, I'm keeping Possessed Lackey. Like, come on. So, yeah, you just have to, use your brain. And then this is just information to, add to what you already kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, my quick cheat sheet on a brand new deck I've never played before is to go to HS Replay, sort it by mulligan win rate. And then I'd quickly look at kept as well. And if kept and mulligan win rate do not match up in a weird, really super weird way, like the example he sent us was Kuhn getting a 66.2% mulligan win rate, but a 7.6% kept percentage. That's when I'm like, okay, yeah, not keeping Kuhn at all. So, yeah, it's
the other thing I'll say is, yes, this deck is super fun. Super, super fun.
Get out there and play combo Malagos Druid is what you're saying?
So, yeah, it's a wild deck, but I think this is the exact deck, if I'm looking at it right. Yeah, this is the exact deck that Crypt played to Legend.
That's what he mentioned. Yeah, that Crypt featured this deck.
Yeah, because it's just, a combo deck in Druid now is really good because they got branching paths, and it's just, they already had Nourish and Ultimate Infestation. It's like Druid could just draw their whole deck. pretty easily. And that's key when you're playing combo decks. So get out there, give it a shot. Super fun.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Thanks for writing in, Peter. Thanks for writing in, Steph Buckle. Everybody keep writing in. TACpodcast@gmail.com. That's going to wrap it up for this podcast. Thanks again, everyone, for listening, including our patrons over at patreon.com/TAC. Huge thanks to our producers, Declan H., Michael N., Sean C., Johnny S., and LVE. Y'all are awesome. If you want some Angry Chicken swag, we have shirts available over at shirts.amove.tv. We also have custom etched glassware, which you can find at etched.amove.tv. Go check that out. You can follow the show on Twitter at TAC Podcast, when you can see us going live for special stream events like our Triple Head Chicken stream today, where Jocelyn and I bore witness to some really silly games of Bill's playing. I would say we helped, but really, I mean, that deck.
Hey, I helped with that sweet Deathwing play. Come on.
That's true. Unfortunately, we weren't able to win any of the games except for the one where we actually pulled the combo off. But
With one health. With one health.
When we did, it was awesome.
It was
awesome. Yeah, we were at one, and then we just hit him for a million. It was great.
Who would have thought that it would have been Jocelyn's suggestion to just, you know what, let's just flip the board and go home. Play Deathwing. Yeah. We have 9 cards in hand. Let's just play Deathwing because there's no way we're winning. Just flip the table.
I mean, I think it was our only winning line in that particular game.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't think you were wrong.
Just because it was wrong doesn't mean it wasn't also, you know, a little table flippy. But
sure. We had every combo piece in our hand and none of them cost zero. And that's the problem.
All right. Well, around the table, Dills, you do other things besides the Angry Chicken. Where can everybody find you?
Just check me out on the Twitters at Willie Dills, twitch.tv/WillieDills. Be playing a lot of Hearthstone in February because I got to get ranked up in both Wild and Standard. So come join me. Let's do this together, people. It's going to be fun.
Nice. Jocelyn, how about yourself?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at JossPlays. Also, I've had a lot of people asking me what exactly my stream schedule is. And the thing is, when you do podcasts, my stream schedule actually changes a lot. So I've started creating events on Twitch. So if you want to know what I'm going to be streaming for the upcoming week, just go to my channel page and you can actually click the events tab. And then you can even follow things and add them to your Google Calendar if you're interested in any of the streams that I'm going to be doing for the week. So yeah, go check that out. twitch.tv/JossPlays/events.
Go check it out. Go see it. I'm Garrett Art on Twitter. All the podcasts are at amove.tv. New Angry Nerd just went up. I literally talked about nothing but cocktails for about 30 minutes. So if that sounds interesting to you, go and give that a listen. Graphic design portfolio can be found at nomoonart.com. I could use some freelance. I'll be traveling in a little bit and I'm saving up. So I need beer money. Let's go. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Angry Chicken. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And until next time, job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
Yes! Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.